New Year's Day, hard on noon on New Year's Day. That means it's time for kickoff in the remaining three games of the college football playoff. Live to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios, John Fricke with you. We are taking your calls. A reminder that you are a guest and not a caller, so if you do call in and you want to jump in on the Falcons and on Black Monday and on the Swampers game and Matt Ryan and all the things that are going on in Flowery Branch or could go on in Flowery Branch here. I do want to stress again, because, you know, Chris Moten and some other people that have called in, some of the rest of you who are guests on the program, that it's almost impossible for myself or any other host here to talk about player personnel moves prior to Tuesday. I mean, we can guess as to whether or not they're going to, for example, tag Kyle Pitts, or, you know, we can guess as to whether or not they're going to bring back Kirk Cousins. But until we know who's going to be in charge and who's going to be making the calls, and if it's different people, either a different head coach or a different general manager or a different offense coordinator, or all three are different, or whatever the whoever's making the call here in terms of what kind of offense they're going to run, I don't know, or defense for that matter. We can't exactly know what they're going to want to do on offense and how that fits. So I think it's pointless. I mean, I would just say that I can't answer anything for you. No talk show host can. Well, they're going to do this. You have no idea what they're going to do. You can't possibly know, because you don't even know who's going to do it. So the first thing we have to get done between now at noon on New Year's Day and at noon on Thursday and at 9 a.m. Monday, okay, and you better be here at 9 a.m. Monday on the station. The first thing you have to do is determine who's going to be making the call. Okay, that's the very first thing you have to do. And if the Falcons have already made that determination, then you look at the potential of other teams that could be involved in Black Monday. Zach Taylor at Cincinnati, Kevin Stefanski at Cleveland. This is just my list. Aaron Glenn with the Jets, Jonathan Gannon at Arizona, Mike McDaniel Miami, Pete Carroll Las Vegas. Okay, that's half a dozen. If you add Raheem, that's seven. That's about an average, by the way, of the number of coaches that change every year, somewhere between five and eight, that are new head coaches. This whole continuity thing makes no sense to me. This is not college football. There is no continuity. Leon Coam Duval goes from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the Jacksonville Jaguars. What kind of continuity is that? Tampa Bay takes a big step back offensively, and Jacksonville finally gets a guy that can put Trevor Lawrence in a position to win, and look what Jacksonville has done. Should Jacksonville not make the move to get an offensive mind that could make the best? Didn't you give up on Trevor Lawrence? Didn't a lot of people, when he came out of Clemson, didn't we all say, that kid from Cartersville is going to be a superstar in the NFL? Look at everything he had at his disposal, the ability to run, to throw. He had everything, right? And it never happened at Jacksonville. And we're like, oh, okay, I don't know why. It's been meh, blah. Now suddenly, it's like, oh, okay. Ben Johnson leaves the Lions. The Lions get eliminated. Their offense takes a step back. You got Caleb Williams. He's overrated. They, you know, he shouldn't have been the number one pick in the NFL draft. Well, suddenly look at Caleb Williams. And look at where the Bears are. Neither of those were continuity moves, right, in Chicago or Jacksonville. But we should have a continuity move here. Walk me through that one. Or do we have a young quarterback who hasn't been coached up right, where we need our Leon Coam, our Ben Johnson, to come in here and make him get right? That's my argument to you. Now, will they do that? I have no idea. They may keep Raheem. They may want continuity, and you can make the argument for it. Mr. Blank, we know, has been loyal to a fault. But I think the biggest argument in favor of Raheem moving out from Raheem is this whole Matt Ryan thing. Because, again, I want to walk you through. I was trying to tell you that I only know what I don't know. Okay? So what I don't know is what role Matt Ryan's going to have. What I do know is Matt Ryan's going to have a role. And that role will be significant. And the reason I know that is because the Falcons have said, you know, through all the reports, that it will be a significant role. When the reporting comes out that the Falcons have been talking to Matt Ryan about adding him to this staff in Flowery Branch, and that that role will be significant, if that were not true, okay, you have to trust me, been doing this a long time, know the folks over there, understand how it works, okay? Everybody on our station does. If it wasn't true, that wouldn't have gotten out. A, or B, it would have been immediately been shot down. It would have been, no, stop with that. It would have come out. They would have just said, you know, they go to D-Led or somebody else, and they, or somebody they trust, or through AtlantaFalcons.com or whatever. They get the word out. Hey, listen, this is all bupkis. Matt Ryan's not coming here. Or Matt Ryan, yeah, he may have a role, but it's not really going to be significant. They would have shot down one or both instantly, because that's not the way that Mr. Blank runs business. It's not the way he rolls, okay? So the Falcons made sure to not shoot that down. Not only that, but it was probably the Falcons who leaked it, because the Falcons are the ones who control the information. So it probably wouldn't have gotten out at all, that's my second guess here, if it weren't what the Falcons wanted to get out. And they wanted to get that out in front of people, that Matt Ryan was going to come back, he was going to join the franchise, he was going to have a significant role. I'm going to take you back in the Wayback Machine here. When I first started calling for, after the Carolina game, Raheem Morris to be let go, I started to champion Matt Ryan right here on the air. I'm not saying I had any influence of Lowry Branch. That's not what I'm saying. It just made logical sense to me, okay, that who knows this franchise better? Who knows how to, you know, remember, mentor a quarterback? Who knows how to make this process work better than Matt Ryan? And at that time, I said, well, you know, he could be the head coach, and he could be in charge of the quarterback room, and he could take Michael Penix under his wing. Mr. Blank has a different idea, apparently, which is to have him in an even higher role than that, up to even including the top role, where in the power structure, Matt Ryan becomes the CEO of the team. And then if you look at a pyramid, you got Arthur Blank at the top, right, as the owner. And then, you know, you split off into the various groups that are underneath him in AMB, you know, the golf group with the PGA Superstore. And one of the things that's true about AMB, and I know this for a fact because my daughter worked there for so many years, is that AMB is a linear company, in the sense that each division is its own operation. Okay, so there's a golf operation that's the PGA Superstore, and it's also the Drive, the Atlanta Drive. There's a soccer thing, which is Atlanta United. It is the new NWSL team. It is the training center in Marietta. And it is the Atlanta United Academy, okay? And it is also, you know, the kind of the point for the World Cup and for other soccer-related events, okay? Then there is the football side of it, which is the Falcons and what goes on in Flowery Branch. And that is so consuming that that's it. And then there's major events where my daughter worked is, you know, the ATL, all the concerts, the college football games, bowl games, the Super Bowls, the Final Fours, you know, that's major events, okay? And so if you start to look at how that operation works with Mr. Blank, there's somebody over all of them, right? Okay? There's somebody over major events, somebody over soccer, somebody over, football, and then there's the prop. There's actually a fifth division, which is the properties, because Mr. Blank owns huge ranches. So there's a properties division, which is a totally different division with a bunch of real estate people in it. So in the Falcons structure, okay, the person who's the point, in this case the CEO of the team, reports only to Mr. Blank. There's nobody in between Mr. Blank and the CEO. Okay, all the CEOs, four or five of them, that run will report directly to Mr. Blank. There's going to be no further through Rich McKay. It's got to be a CEO that reports directly to Mr. Blank. And it's got to be somebody that Mr. Blank trusts. Somebody that Mr. Blank believes knows the organization inside and out. Somebody that Mr. Blank believes can do the best football operations, handling of player personnel, scouting, coaching, nutrition, everything. Well, who knows that better than Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan is eminently qualified, more so than anybody else on the planet to be the CEO of this team. Now, whether or not that's the role, I'm just telling you that when somebody comes at me and says he's not qualified, that is absolutely 100% false. Matt Ryan is absolutely and eminently qualified to be able to do that. Look at it this way. With the Braves, right, they don't have an owner. They have a group, right? They have the board of directors now. They're like the Packers. They don't have a direct owner. And so the general manager and the team president of the Braves, you know, the Schillers and Alex Anthopoulos, they act independent of just about anything else except to report to the board, okay? But they really have pretty much autonomy here, and I think that autonomy has allowed Alex Anthopoulos to have the freedom to be able to make the kind of moves he makes, you know, in terms of, because Schiller run the whole organization, including, you know, the minor leagues and everything else. And that allows Alex Anthopoulos to really focus on the baseball team. Not that he doesn't have a role in the other areas, but to really focus on the Braves and their roster and their construction and how he's going to handle the ball club, of which he does a marvelous job. I've told you that I have the utmost respect for Alex Anthopoulos. But he's given a freedom to do that in the structure of the way kind of the Braves are structured that other people haven't been able to, because you answer directly to an owner. But it's worse if you have to answer to an owner and somebody that's an in-between, a go-between between you and the owner. I got to answer to, fine if I got to answer to the owner because he's the one that writes the checks, but I got to answer to somebody that's right below. It's like the owner, then a person, and then the branches. That person below Arthur Blank has got to go. Okay, and so Matt Ryan becomes CEO, it's got to be a direct line to Mr. Blank, nobody else. And then Mr. Blank can look at Matt Ryan and say, look, I'm going to step back. You have total control of the franchise. I have full faith and credit in your ability to make the football decisions here. We're not talking about PR. We're not talking about AtlantaFalcons.com. We're not talking about, you know, facilities or any of that. We're talking about player personnel, scouting, roster construction, coaching staff, nutrition, weight room, everything that is involved in actual football, okay? And of that, Matt Ryan, again, is eminently qualified to run the whole show. So if this significant means that he's the boss, I'm good with it. But if they're going to do that, then they can't, in my opinion, do that after Monday. They have to install Matt Ryan, because look, this isn't something that they just broke last week. This is something that has been building for quite some time. It just so happened that I kind of lucked into the whole Matt Ryan thing back earlier in the year when it was starting to become obvious that this wasn't working, that they were already discussing and probably never stopped talking to Matt Ryan. So anybody who kind of, we just kind of stumbled on what was going to be an obvious situation here, you know, in terms of Matt having an input into the team. And again, originally I thought it might be as the head coach. Now it's obvious that I think that Mr. Blank believes that he should run the whole show, which I'm good with, by the way. I'm very good with that. But I don't want him to do it after Monday, because I think if he's going to run the whole show and there is going to be a coaching change, it might seem unfair today to announce Matt Ryan's going to be the CEO or whatever, or tomorrow, and then suddenly have Matt Ryan be the one to pull the trigger on Raheem. It may seem unfair to you, but it's not unfair at all, because Matt Ryan has been preparing for this and talking to Mr. Blank about this for a long period of time. Not a week, not 2 weeks, not even a month. He's been talking to him about it for 6-7 weeks, and Mr. Blank said, we're just not going to make the announcement until the end of the year. So this is not, if this does happen that way, this is not going to be, oh, they're panicking, they just out of the blue picked Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan's making all these football decisions, he just fired the coach. That's not the way this worked, okay? Because if they're going to make a coaching change by 9 a.m. Monday, they have to fire Raheem. Because no matter what happens on Sunday, they have to fire Raheem on 9 a.m. Monday if they have already determined through Matt Ryan and other people, Greg Beatles, whoever's going to be, Terry Fontenot, whoever's going to be involved, if they've already determined who the next head coach is going to be, they have to let Raheem go immediately and then turn around and hire the new. There's no process here, okay? We're not going to go through some lengthy process where suddenly Joe Brady's going here and Clint Kubiak's going there and Munkin's going there and this guy's going there and this guy's going there and we miss out on our Ben Johnson, miss out on our Liam Cohen. That would be a disaster. That would be a disaster. And they know that at Flowery Branch. It's time to make the big, bold move, and I don't care one whit about continuity. I only care about winning. This team is built to win now. They failed to do so last year. They failed to do so this year. There are no excuses. Everybody's held accountable, and evaluations happen at the end of the year. Remember that statement when I was banging the drum here, as loudly as I was banging the drum to fire Raheem, and I was loudly banging it week after week, did it four times, right? They came out and they finally figured that they had to say something to kind of put, and it was just a blanket statement that everybody does. We will make evaluations at the end of the year, which everybody does, but they felt compelled to do so so that they would quiet the nattering nabobs like me, you know, who are out there yelling for change here, which also was an indication to me that they're making a change.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. Married twice. So... I really hope that Matt has a significant role. I hope the Falcons take a big, bold step. We cannot afford to waste. Did the Hawks just waste Trae Young? Did they just waste Trae Young? And not this current group that's running the show, but I don't know. All I know is you can't waste Bijan and Drake, because in the NFL – your life expectancy, what's 3.5-4 years? You got a couple more years. Guys, we got like 2 or 3 more years of Bijan, and that's going to be about it. The Derrick Henrys of the world are kind of few and far between. Maybe Bijan will be that guy. But a lot of running backs don't make it 6-7 years in the NFL. It's a violent game. They get beat the hell up. One of the things that saved him, of course, is that they had Algier. Which is why I wonder if they'll tag out. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's a player thing after Tuesday. Quick break, 404-726-0929. We're talking with you about the Falcons. We're talking to you about college football. They're underway in the Orange Bowl, Oregon and Texas Tech. Here we go. Next team in comes in a few hours on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dante Moore off to a quick start against Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl. Oregon up 3-0. They are 6 minutes into the game in Miami. One of these two teams hoping to make 2 trips to Miami this year because that's where the national title game is. So we are underway with playoff day coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Rose Bowl, Alabama, Indiana. 8 o'clock, Sugar Bowl, Georgia, Ole Miss. Garrett Chapman is now in the hot seat. And Marvin and Paul and Phil... Everybody, Ken, that's hanging on, stay right there. If you're hanging on, I promise you we'll get on the air. I do want to say hi and Happy New Year to Garrett Chapman, fresh from the Pop-Tart Bowl and the disappointing loss for Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
How you doing, Garrett?
Fantastic. It's a Happy New Year indeed. We got a lot of great football games on our screen today and getting to spend some time with some family and friends. So very much looking forward to it.
Did you pick Miami? I forget.
I did not. I started trending the direction right around kickoff. I don't know why. I think it was just the way that they've been playing some great defense. And then I was just I'm not a big believer in Julian Sain. But, man, these guys took off. How about that? I did not expect to see what we saw last night. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, I started to question my pick, too, because if you looked at Ohio State, their flaw was their offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And... which I said at the time was only good. And they had had trouble with the Texas defensive line, the Indiana defensive line. And sure enough, that's what won it for them last night, was that Miami defensive line just created all sorts of hell.
Oh, my God. And it's crazy. So, it was like 16 sacks in the last 2 games or something.
Yeah.
Whew. Look out.
I actually kind of look back going, how did they lose to Louisville and SMU? Oh, Carson Beck was throwing picks. Okay.
Yep. Well, that's the biggest difference. He has 6 interceptions in 2 games that they lost. That's the difference. If you can affect Carson Beck and get him to throw some interceptions and turn the ball over, that changes the game for them. Because, I mean, the offense was okay. Their offense was okay. But they were also going up against a really, really, really good Ohio State defense. You know, so when you match them up in potentially against the Dogs in the semifinal, it's a compelling matchup. You know, because if Carson Beck is playing within himself and making the smart throws and keeping the offense in rhythm, that team is lethal. That defense is unbelievable. Very, very good. And the biggest problem is that they've just gotten in their own way. Last 2 games, they haven't done that.
It is a big weekend. We have New Year's Day in the bowl games. We have the portal opening tomorrow. We may have our first $5 million quarterback. Going to be a lot of players, well north of, I don't know how many thousand players are in the portal. There are going to be stories of signings left, right. I mean, the news is going to come fast and furious all over America about all these big players moving tomorrow. And then, of course, we'll have coming up this weekend, the NFL on Saturday and Sunday, including the Bagheads in town to end the season. Can the Falcons go 2-0 against the Swampers? And then comes Monday morning at 9 a.m. and Black Monday and what we're talking about. And in between here and there, will the Atlanta Falcons, let's put it this way, if Matt Ryan is going to have a role, because I was thinking about this in the break, what I was saying in the first segment here of this 12 o'clock hour, if Matt Ryan's going to have a role where he will be in charge and determine who the general manager and head coach is, then they have to make the announcement now. If he's not going to have that role, then they don't. But I don't want them to have a situation where, somebody else is making the call on the head coach and the general manager, and then they turn around next week and name Matt Ryan into a position where he could have made the call. Because you're going to have to move at 9 a.m. Monday if you're the Falcons. You cannot wait. You just can't. Let's go to Marvin and Paul and Ken. We had Phil on there for a while. Hey, Marvin, welcome to the show. Hello, Marvin. No, Marvin? Yeah, you can't wait if you're the Falcons here because you may want you get your guy here. We lost Marvin. All right, let's go to Paul. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You mentioned about that advertisement about where's Loganville?
Oh, yeah. Where's Loganville?
Maxi Price Motors is the name of it. I've been living here for 47 years. I think it was a year I was here. I'm going, my God, what is that ad? But that was it. Maxi Price Motors.
I wondered. Yeah, I was wrong. Yeah, I get my old commercials mixed up. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's one of those that sticks with you, right through your ear,
But now that I have you on the line here, though, one thing, I went to grad school in Miami, so I'm a proud Hurricane. The first college game I ever saw was the Miami Hurricanes. But I have a problem now that my nephew wants me to go out to Phoenix with him to the Georgia game if Georgia wins. So I don't know what I'm going to do. He may be
isn't that the conundrum here? Where, it's a big word for all you bagheads. This is why, so a lot of these games aren't sold out, even the playoff games. Forget the attendance at the bowl games. Yeah. Because fans are going, wait, I cannot go. Let's say that you're Miami didn't have to go to the ACC title game, but and Georgia only had to go to Atlanta. But, you can't say, and Indiana only had to go to Indianapolis, but you can't say, okay, I'm going to afford tickets and hotels for the Big Ten title game or the SEC title game, and then I'm going to go to, Pasadena, and then I'm going to go back home, and then I'm going to go to New Orleans, and then I'm going to go back home or Atlanta, and then I'm going to go to Miami. You can't – unless you are – an unemployed, retired, multi-millionaire, who the hell's doing that?
So I'm just hoping my nephew's not listening. He may call him and tell me I'm not going anyway now after he hears this call. So no big deal.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Nobody can afford to do this. I think, they make changes every year in the playoff. And somebody said, well, the problem is that they have, contractually obligated to these bowl games, to these six bowl games, these New Year's six bowl games, and to the cities. They have long-term contracts with Atlanta, New Orleans, Miami. They have long-term contracts, of course, with the Rose Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl and the Cotton Bowl. So those six towns and those six bowls. If you were just to use them for the semifinals and maybe the title game, and you get rid of this neutral, because like this year they're playing the title game in Miami, you could just flag that as the Orange Bowl. And you only use three of the six, what would you do with the other three if you're going to play home games in the opening two rounds? And my answer to that is, I think as long as all six are in the mix to be semifinal and title game, the other three move to the beginning of the year. And you would have a kickoff Rose Bowl, a kickoff Sugar Bowl, and you would get huge teams, Garrett, in that opening weekend of the year around Labor Day with them in prime time. Like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Friday, Saturday, Monday, where the three bowls that are not involved in the playoff that year are the primetime national bowl games to kick off the season. And you get huge teams in there. What do you think? I think he's working the phones here. That would be my answer anyway. All right, let's go to who's next here? Let's go back to Marvin. Hey, Marvin, welcome to the show.
Yeah, after 40 minutes. Happy New Year, John.
Yeah, hey, Marvin, I appreciate your holding on. I really appreciate it. I tell everybody you're a guest, not a caller. That's why, you know, and it takes a little bit of time and patience, and I appreciate it.
You know, I'm aware of that. So next year will be my 60th year with these birds. Yep. My dad was a friend of Rankin's, and we became inaugural season ticket holders in 66.
Wow.
So it's a curse. He's been dead for 10 years now, and I still hold him responsible, my dad. You know, I was thinking, and I like your perspective about it. I guess we'll see what we hear before the Swampers game or by Monday morning. I like what you say about what Arthur's going to do, but then always whatever we think is always what Arthur does differently. But I'm a Home Depot stockholder too, and the Falcon performance would not be acceptable at the Home Depot. Yet he comes with this stuff and tells us that Rich McKay is not going to be involved in decisions, and he's going over to the Five Stripes, and I'm not sure where he fits in that lineage that you just explained a few minutes ago while I was on hold. But I hope Rich McKay's over there ruining the soccer team, but he's got to stay away from the football side. But think about it.
To ruin the soccer team. I want Atlanta United to
explode
back into being Atlanta United. Okay, whatever.
I just want Rich McKay to not be Arthur's right-hand man.
Okay, well, let's not talk about Rich McKay at the moment. Let's talk about let me ask you a couple direct questions. Yeah, no, I mean, no, I want – if Matt Ryan is going to have that role, I want him to report directly to – I just laid that out to you, so I agree with
you. So who reports to Arthur now? Greg Beatles, the president?
I don't know what the structure is now. I mean, because I'm not there. I don't work for the company. I don't know – I can't answer that. You'd have to work for the company to understand it. You'd have to ask Greg Beatles.
Well, let's face it.
I mean, I'm never going to walk up to the team president. I'm never walking up to Greg Beatles and saying, who do you report to? I'm not. Who the hell would do that?
What I'm getting at is, even if Rich McKay's working over on the soccer side like he said he has been, when Raheem had a press conference last year, he said, well, we talked to everybody, and we talked to Rich, and so I don't really believe Arthur about the fact that Rich McKay's not in on every meeting, but let's say he's not. Maybe Matt Ryan's going to take over being Arthur's right-hand man instead of Rich McKay.
Well, Rich is still going to be part – I mean, he's CEO of the team at the moment, and if they replace him as CEO of the Falcons with Matt, that's how I would imagine the structure. I mean, Rich McKay has been instrumental – you know, in building the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Has been instrumental in getting, you know, the major events here, getting Super Bowls here.
Oh, he's not a bad guy.
No, and he's been a huge so fans understand he has been a huge asset to AMB. He's a gigantic asset to AMB. One of the reasons we have, you know, the World Cup here, Rich McKay. I mean, so
that's right.
This is. I just want everybody to make sure that I think that they think he's just a meddler here, and so sometimes I just kind of roll my eyes and say, but it'd be interesting. Again, we don't know what role, except that it's going to be significant, that Matt Ryan will have. My only point to you is, and I'm going to go back to this, Marvin, if Matt Ryan is going to be the one that makes the call on the future of Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris, they have to announce it today or tomorrow.
Absolutely. But think about it. Rich McKay was involved when we hired Mike Smith. He was involved when we hired and drafted Matt Ryan in the first place. I mean, he's not done all bad things. He's also the man on the competition committee and the rules committee at the NFL.
Can we stop talking about Rich McKay? This is like a blanket ban. All right, Marvin, from this moment on, guys and gals, this is a blanket ban on talking about Rich McKay, okay? Because that's not really where my focus is here. My focus is going to be, let's talk about what we're going to do now. The only reason we'd even have a discussion here is if they come out and say, you know, that McKay's the one making the call and it's up to him. I have no idea. You know, whoever the CEO
What I think's going to happen is Arthur's so loyal. He's going to keep Raheem. They're going to replace the special teams coach. And they're going to bring in Matt Ryan to be the interim between Arthur and the coaches.
I don't know what that means. Yeah, it's significant. It is going to be interesting, Marvin. You're absolutely correct. I don't know what my problem is. I don't know what significant means. Significant says to me, really? You don't use that word. Thank you, Marvin, for the call here. That's a word that only applies, in my opinion, to two positions. Anything less than CEO of the team or team president would not be called significant. And that is the Falcons' word. Again, the only reason we know that Matt Ryan has been, and I'm pretty sure in talks for quite some time, I'm certain of that, with Mr. Blank in terms of role with the team. And the only reason I know that it is going to be a significant role is if it weren't true, it never would have gotten out. And if it weren't true, the Falcons would have put an immediate stop to it, neither of which happened. So that is that. That's how, if to understand how Valerie Branch works, to understand that that's the way this is. Matt Ryan is going to be with this club. He is going to have a significant role. And again, significant only means one of two things to me. I mean, it could mean head coach or general manager, I guess. I mean, it could. I could include those. It's head coach, general manager, team president, CEO. It's one of the four. It's not offensive coordinator. It's not director of community development. It's not director of scouting. It's like one of the four prominent positions. Those are the only four really significant positions. Okay. Quick break. More of your calls ahead as we talk to you. Garrett Chapman's in. We'll talk some college football with my buddy Garrett, too. It is playoff day for the Georgia Bulldogs, the Alabama Crimson Tide, Indiana Hoosiers, and Ole Miss Rebels as we watch Oregon and Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl trying to become team number two in after Miami last night right here on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Sports Radio 90 Time the Game from the Northern Kia Studios. John Frickie with you on New Year's Day. Taking it at 2 o'clock. First quarter in the books between Oregon and Texas Tech. 3-0 Ducks on top of the Raiders. You know, it's so funny how I think Garrett Chapman, and I'll get to Dwight, another Garrett, Paul, Ken, I'll get to all you guys here in just a moment. I think it's interesting to me, I was going over this kind of in my mind, what's changed, because in, you know, 5 years ago, an Oregon-Texas Tech game would have ended, you know, 59-56, right? There would have been no defense played. So what's changed about college football? And I think one of the things that we've missed here, Garrett Chapman, is that college football has changed, the portal has changed to make college football a more defensive game, because where in the past, the big superpowered teams would hog all the defensive talent, and there'd be great defensive talent in the group of five that was just getting lost and stuck in the group of five that they're now scouting, the portal has spread that defensive talent out.
And John, I'll give you one more, too. And it's something that I saw on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. And you bring it up, and it just popped back into my head. It's also the change in the clock rules. The way that they shrank the game a good bit. And it's the ball doesn't stop every time you go out of bounds. It's more akin to what you have in the NFL, where it's like you don't have clock stoppages up until you get to down under 2 minutes in the game. And what that does is it creates more urgency on offense, but it also... shrinks the game, so you have fewer opportunities to score points. So it's an impact that I don't think enough people talk about.
Yeah, no. So the game has changed some. Remember, it was how everything was 59-0. You know, we'd had championship games. Look at some of those games between Alabama and Clemson, and I mean, it was like, you know, last team to touch the ball, right? The champion, Oregon and Alabama, Georgia and Alabama. Suddenly, those games are now 14-13 and 21-7, and you know, everything is, it's becoming a little bit more like the NFL in that regard. All right, anyway, I just noting that Oregon and Texas Tech is a game between two teams, both of whom have really good defenses. Okay. Dwight is with us here. Welcome to the program. Hey, Dwight. Dwight, turn your put Dwight on hold. Have him turn his radio down, please. Hey, Dwight. Let's go to Ken. Dwight, hang on here. Hey, Ken, welcome to the show. Ken? Yo, Ken. I don't think Ken's with us. We do ask that you're patient. I promise, like I always say, if you are on hold, I promise I will get you on the air. Now we'll try Garrett. All right, see if we can get one for three here. Garrett, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, how are you?
Oh, good. Hey, Garrett.
Happy New Year to you, man, and Happy New Year to Garrett, other Garrett. So one of the things I wanted to ask you about, and I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller for you, lifelong friends with Rob Tribble, of all people, but...
good man. One I like things, him a lot. Decent sod, isn't he?
Rob is something, man. He is himself, for sure. But my question is this, and nobody's talking about it, right, is Tyler Allgeier, okay? So... I've heard, like, in the last few days, you've had your four questions and who's staying and who's going and blah, blah, blah. But nobody's really mentioning Tyler. And here's my fear. He's going to go to the Saints or the Bucks, and he's going to run 250 yards on us every time. And do you think we're going to give him an extension? Because one of the things that bothers me the most, and I've been a Falcons fan since 75, I guess, when we moved here. So I'm down to the point where it's either a curse or it's on purpose. You know, I can't figure out the two, but what I will say is, like, when you have Allgeier and you have Bijan, it's like a boxing match. Why would you come in going for the head? Why would they not put them both on the field? Every time Tyler comes in, everybody knows where it's going, who's getting the ball, and he still makes 6 yards, you know, and I don't understand why we can't do like a wishbone or some double back thing where they don't know who's getting the ball. And Tyler's a much better blocker than Pitts, and everybody's talking about whether he's coming back or not. He's got no hands. Tyler has hands. And I just don't – I feel sad that we may lose him in this shuffle, and he's probably one of the best players that we have on the grass, and I just wanted to hear your opinion on that.
No, I agree. I think Tyler – and look, there's a reason he ran for 1,000 yards in his rookie year. They have used some more sets with both. They did against the Rams, both Allgeier and
yes, and look what happened.
I agree. I mean, I'm just noting that.
Do you think we'll keep him?
Well, you know, the Falcons have been in the past very frugal with using a tag. Okay, but Will they use a tag this year? Will they use a tag on Pitts? Will they just try to keep Pitts? Will they use a tag on Ellis? Will they try to just keep Caden Ellis? Again, these are going to be decisions that are made post Monday when you start to break it down. I would hope that they would keep Tyler Allgeier.
Ellis is another one. Like, I guess my question is, like, why are we arguing over Pitts, who's given us 4 years of I mean, I know he's doing better now with Cousins and he's trying to show up to make money, but he's given us three and a half years of nothing. And
well, he did make the Pro Bowl as a rookie. I mean, he has the second
most, he absolutely did
second most receiving yards by a tight end in the history of the NFL.
You're right, absolutely right. But what year was that?
Well, but then who did he play with at quarterback the following? He played with a noodle arm quitter, a guy that's better off suited to do DoorDash deliveries, and Taylor Heineke. Where's that? His
fair enough. Fair enough.
You know, I mean, you give him a good quarterback. Guess what happens?
I guess. I'm just concerned.
Well, here's the other part of this. But here's the other part of this.
You're both outranked.
Okay. Here's the other part of this. I'm just making the argument for Pitts.
Yeah, yeah.
If he goes, just let me finish the argument for Pitts. If he goes into free agency, he likely becomes the number one free agent on the board. And you have 10 teams. So why would 10 teams, including powerhouse NFL teams that are Super Bowl, want to go to Super Bowl, why would they be so interested in this guy? Because he's really good?
Yeah, okay. He's really good. I mean, you go to the stadium and it's all you hear. Give it to Tyler, you know?
No, I'm talking about Kyle Pitts.
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah, I get that. But again, I think Pitts had a start that was exceptional, and he stood out.
Everybody forget. He made a diving catch in the end zone on fourth down in D.C. on a bullet pass from Michael Penix that I'm not sure two people in the NFL make that catch but him to tie
that's
the game.
True. And I will tell you, John, that I was one of the ones that was like, oh, my God, look at him. He caught the ball, you know? Like, it had gotten to that point. And I just worry. I think that Caden Ellis and I think that Tyler Allgeier are both – more worth keeping than Kyle Pitts, if that makes sense.
That's fine. But again, I'm not trying to stop the conversation. We can have all these conversations, but we can't really have the conversations because we don't know who is going to be making the call. So these conversations really can't have, we're way ahead. We're putting, you want to talk about cart before the horse here. We can't have these conversations until at a minimum next Tuesday. And if there's a decision on Monday to keep Raheem or to fire Raheem, then the next thing we have to do is, okay, who's going to be the new general manager, the new head coach, the new offensive coordinator? We'll have to do that, go through that process. If there's a decision to keep Raheem and to keep Zach Robinson and to keep Terry Fontenot, we'll have to go through that reaction. But then we start turning our attention to the draft and free agency. But those things don't happen until the spring, you know, and into the summer.
I just would hate to see him go, man. I really would.
Well,
I
agree. I love the two-headed monster at running back. I think there are some really quality running backs in this draft that I think you could get in, you know, if you can. But see, remember, you don't have a first-round draft pick here.
No, of course we don't.
And as much as I would like to have a backup running back, we have other that the backup running back position is fairly low totem pole stuff for this team.
But see, that's my thing. Is that what I'm trying to get at? Is I don't necessarily see him as a backup running back. I see him as a dual running back. And if we would play that threat the way that we could and should have for the last 2-3 years, I think we could. I mean, and you tell me if I'm wrong. But when Tyler comes on the field, every other team that we play knows where the ball is going and knows who's getting it.
Oh, I love Tyler Allgeier. You know, you don't have to walk me through this. I'm with you. You don't have to convince me. I'm absolutely with you. I agree with everything you're saying.
I'm just saying
that this team has got to, you know, they've got to address the coaching situation first, the management situation. Player personnel, I start to look at, okay, they need a second wide receiver, which I barked at about last year prior to the draft. I said, they need a second wide receiver. And people are like, you're not going to draft another wide. I said, they need one. And they didn't get one.
Absolutely.
And
so,
now you need interior defensive line. You need interior defensive line. You need at least two guys on the interior defensive line and maybe two guys on the interior offensive line.
Depending on Ellis, you may need linebackers.
There's a lot going on here. And that's notwithstanding the fact, who the hell's going to play quarterback?
Yeah, that's another scary prospect. I don't even want to get into that today.
I know, but the point is that, you know, as much as I love exactly what you're saying, is that as I start to break down, and again, I'm not going to, well, obviously we're in the discussion, but we really can't have this discussion until we know what kind of offense or we're going to be looking at them running. Let's just put it this way. Would I love to keep Tyler Allgeier? Hell yes.
Yeah.
Will they? Beats me.
Yeah, and same with Caden. I mean, I was going to get a $50 jersey this year. I mean, I would love to.
Yeah.
Anyway, on that, Happy New Year, and I just wanted your insight. I appreciate your insight. You're always great to listen to. I listen to you all the time, so I appreciate you taking my call. And
thank you, Garrett.
Yeah, let's hope for the best, man. I don't know.
tell Rob not to blow his right arm out and get ready for baseball season, right? Exactly.
Yeah. Well, let's hope for the best of that, too. But anyway, thanks, John. Happy New Year to you and your family.
Superstar
and Garrett as well. All right, man. Be good.
All right, thanks. Yeah, because Dribble went to Avondale and I went to Lithonia, so it was old school DeKalb County hate there. No, I love Rob to death. All right, quick break here, top of the hour. We are an hour away from Garrett taking over and Caleb Johnson here, but we are going to talk to Garrett a little bit about college football. Your calls, and if you've been waiting, like the one guy said, you're waiting 40 minutes, I'm sorry. I try to tell you all the time, just like I did with – if you want to do a drive-by, that's fine. I'm not trying to rip through 10 calls in a segment. Sometimes I can do 15 minutes with two or three calls because I want to have conversations with you. I can't help myself about the whole player conversation, but it's a pointless conversation. It really is. Until we know who's running the show and what they're going to be looking at, beats hell out of how we can't possibly know. Are they keeping Kirk Cousins? Are they getting $25 million extra dollars to play in free agents? Beats me. I don't know. They want to keep. Is he going to restructure? Guys, we got to figure out everything else first. I know we all want to talk about player construction and roster construction, but that is way down the road. That's a discussion for like March and April. Not that we won't talk about it, but we have first things first, priorities first, okay? Quick break, top of the hour. John Fricke on New Year's Day on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.